afternoon. It's nice to have all of you present in the house of God tonight, and all of you that are tuning in online. We welcome all of you. Our announcements, the 28th, there's going to be a Ladies United Fellowship, and I think Sister Callan Rhodes is the speaker. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. The 31st is Easter. It's really early this year. The 31st, which is also Kylie's birthday. Your birthday's on Easter. Yeah. I haven't ever, there's a lot of things in life I don't understand. But one thing I don't understand is why this year Easter is March the 31st and next year in 2025 is the third weekend of April. I don't understand why it moves around like that, but nevertheless it does. There's a bassinet set up in the foyer for baby gifts for Kylie and Tanner, and it is a girl. Supposedly it's supposed to be a girl. I see a lot of you at church taking notes, particularly these that sit on the front. I watch a lot of them take notes. And my dad said that my mom used to always take notes at every sermon, but he said he never ever saw her go back and read over them. So anyhow, so I was thinking about that today, and I thought, you know what? I have got so many little books like this, just tons of them, of things I have written in, and I got to looking through them, and I thought this one was neat. This one said, in 2001, a pharmacist in Atlanta was charged with diluting two cancer treatment drugs to make a larger profit. He admitted that he had been doing it for 5 months. One news commentator observed, this man held life-saving power in his hands, and for the sake of personal gain, diluted it to the point where it could not help people. We as Christians must declare the powerful saving, restoring, healing power of Jesus Christ, because His Spirit is the only cure for the cancer of sin. We cannot afford to dilute the powerful message of God. That was one, and I liked this one. Satisfied. That's one thing we are not. We take vacations, and one doesn't satisfy. We eat a delicious banana split. It doesn't satisfy. We buy a new outfit. It doesn't satisfy. As a child, we say, if only I were a teenager. As a teen, we say, if I were only adult. As an adult, we say, if I were married. And as a senior, say, if I were only young again. So we are never satisfied. Contentment is a different virtue. Why? Because nothing on earth can satisfy our deepest longing. There is a void in every person that only God can fill. We will never be perfectly satisfied until we reach heaven and live in God's presence. I'm sure all of you have a bunch of wonderful notes at home as well. We might ought to get them out and look over all we've thought about in the past or read.
Why don't you go ahead and stand up? Thankful for another opportunity to worship Him in spirit and truth.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my foil many enough fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. What He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow is ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior.
Thank you so much. It was so beautiful and so special. I enjoyed sharing with you some of the pre-Paris things and the little accordion. It's been years and years and years and years since it's been played, so I know it probably enjoyed getting out of that case for a while. Okay, about our prayer request tonight. We want to remember in prayer the Gambary family. You know that this is our Katie Taylor Gambary, her husband Jonathan, that's his brother, his wife, and their little baby that's been on our prayer list for quite some time, Miller Gambary. He did pass away. He was just 2 years old, and this is their only child. So let's be sure and pray for God's comfort in that family. Sister Mildred Pratt is very ill, and she needs prayer for healing. Tim and Fonda Price. Tim is in the hospital again, and this time he has septic pneumonia. Fonda is a cousin to Cindy Crawford. Jean Flores needs salvation. Wayne Sims was diagnosed with lung and kidney cancer. And we're holding up our precious sister Geraldine Osmus, yes, that needs healing in her body. We're taking her before the throne of God. Not a sweeter lady in this whole world. Howard Woods is a veteran that needs prayer. So let's take, do any of you have a special unspoken request? Okay, did y'all hear Brother Dickie's urgent request for this family? If any of you have an unspoken request, if you want to lift your hand, God knows all about exactly what it is. And not only does He know, but He's able to do something about it. Let's take these before the throne. God, tonight we're believing this situation Brother Dickie has mentioned that's so urgent. You know all about it. You are able, God, to intervene in that situation. This Gambary family. God, I pray that this mom and dad will feel the comfort of your spirit in their lives. Pray for Sister Mildred. Body, healing in Tim Price's body, salvation for Jesus.
Sweet name have I ever known. No.
Preparing now to receive our offering tonight. I mentioned to you ladies that this weekend the pledge cards for Mother's Memorial will be distributed. You know, this is our annual offering that goes to support a lot of causes, but its main cause is providing all of the appliances in all of our missionaries' home. It also sends birthday cards and Christmas cards to all of their children. So if you want to pledge, that offer is not due till July the 1st. So thank you so much for all of your support of this church, and not just this church, but all of the various offerings we receive that never stay in here. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, for this offering tonight and the precious people that give to support the causes of the kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for all of your many, many, many blessings. Thank you, God, that we have been born in the United States.
Fear is not my future. You are, sickness is not my story. You are, heartbreak's not my hope. You are, death is not the end. You are, fear is not my future. You are. felt goodbye shame, goodbye pain, goodbye grave. It's a new horizon. Goodbye fear, goodbye guilt, goodbye shame, goodbye pain, goodbye grave. It's a new horizon. One more time with shame. Goodbye, goodbye fear, goodbye guilt, goodbye shame.
That he makes it all new.
Oh yes, God, you're worthy. Oh, you're trading it for joy. Oh yes, you take.
God bless you. You're seated. The profundity of God's effort in life and the way he establishes life is so phenomenal. As the body of Christ, we are in line for his entire portfolio of wealth, and his presence is obvious in the house tonight. Based on what I can tell from the crowd here, the crowd of young people out in the external area and over at the family center approximately, and this is according to the statistics of the world, probably somewhere between 600 and 900 people will be affected by this service. That's phenomenal. And that is the world's concept of managing what happens in the atmosphere. Now, we know that by COVID, and we know that by winter and summer changes that create lots of things. And so when those times come around, the people in charge of trying to help us start really working desperately for vaccines, for medication, and for when to go outdoors in the sun and when to stay in the shade. And so people are dynamically affected by that. And so it is with the kingdom of God or the light of the world. Brother Griffith, before we go any further, I want to thank God for helping you to be strengthened and empowered in your body. Praise God. I really thrill at the joy that God gets out of a service, because it is his good pleasure to give good things to them that come unto him or ask him for good things. And so he turns our sorrows into joy, and he turns our disappointments into victory, and we are allowed to move into supremacy because he cares. He ever careth for you. So tonight we will be doing our best and have several speakers tonight that are going to help in the ministry that's going on. Our title tonight is God is What You Make Him. He will look good tomorrow, because if you are adjusting your life to his, people will sense and see his actions, his thought patterns, etc. So God is what we make him. We can make him greater, or we can make him less great, because people know that we go to his house, study his word, and are filled with His Spirit. And so they are either blessed or blamed because they do not enjoy your relationship with God and with them, because it is a imperative. It is totally impossible to have an spirit moving, flowing out of us in our vocabulary and not affect those that are living in pathos or pitifulness. And so I thrill at the opportunity to herald and highlight the glory that is before us and for us. And so let's look at Acts, the 17th chapter, and we'll look at a little bit of this. So I wish you'd tell your neighbor, God is what you make Him. Everybody's watching for you. They know you're Pentecostal. They know you're apostolic. They know you talk in tongues. They know you've been baptized in Jesus' name. And they know you claim to have the power of God unto salvation. And so it's a rich experience to be able to be read of all men. The Bible says that ye are read of all men because you are the light of the world. And you have told them that. You've told them by they need to come here. They need to be baptized in Jesus' name. They need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They need to walk in uprightness and holiness and godliness and fear of the Lord. And so they're aware of that. And so they watch us like through a telescope or a microscope would be maybe a little more. Now, if they don't enjoy that, then they tend to make fun of the people that do that. That's when you really get a thrill, because you know for sure now that you are separated from that climate into a powerful climate in which they have learned to live in the lesser values of life. It ought to be joy unspeakable every day. It ought to be joy unspeakable and unthinkable every day that He called me out of darkness into His, say it good and loud, marvelous light. That gives you the prerogative to sense whenever the enemy is trying to attack, as opposed to the angels trying to lead you into further relationships. So Acts, the 17th chapter, verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive or sense that in all things you all are too superstitious. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and the Lord of earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to everyone life, breath, and everything they have, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He is never far from any one of us, for in Him we live, we move, we have our being, as in Him, as certain also of even the poets have said, we are also His offspring. We were all born of Almighty God. So what people do with God is a major activity level. And we see word pictures throughout this book that paint pictures of people that were pitiful, but they made something special out of God in their life. We see others in that book that had the same advantage, and they took it lightly, and they knew God, but they walked away from God, and they lived after the flesh, and they all knew how they really got where they are. And so as we look into these scriptures, and that they that should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him. That is a strategic statement in the verse 27 that I read to you a minute ago. So what people do with God is being recorded. That's huge elevation thinking. That's huge understanding to know that God is calling everybody in America and in foreign countries, come unto me, and I will make you. But it's been turned around in foreign places. They have taken the opportunity and made gods out of images and out of things that God created for them to use to inspire their life and to build their life up, but so that they would be strong and praise him. He said, I'm a jealous God. I will not have another God taking my place. He never played games with this. So we see all these word pictures and the greatness of God as the creator and the uniqueness of God. How in the world that some people can turn out looking so good and then some of us like myself, you know, wish you did. It's one of those situations, you know. There's not many people that come around and say, you are about the handsomest man I've ever known. But I more likely get, how did you get that big nose? Your dad must have really had a snout. It's amazing how people, and of course dad helped me to learn to live with it at a young age, and so he'd laugh with me, and of course his nose wasn't no small critter either. It's amazing how that transmission of thoughts and ideas transform children and the future for young couples, medium-age couples, and elderly couples. And so we try to do what the Bible said. Call on me. Come to me. Get close to me. Know me. Understand me. I am your Savior. I am your liaison between spiritual wealth and spiritual poverty. I am come to you. You didn't have to crawl up some mountain to me. I came down from heaven and I met you on the level where you lived so you could understand I am not of this world carnal. I am come into the carnal world to give you the wealth of the heavens and the coming system that will always continue forever and ever. And with all of that said, I'm certainly not the smartest guy on how to get all that out there. But what I do know is the simplicity of the gospel is you must be born again. You must follow me, he said. You must work and live within the parameters of my word. And if you do that, I will make you that you shall never fail. That's huge stuff. So the enemy, he's done it for years and trying to get people to just make the God of gods the kind of God they want. Well, this is what I want. And so that's why we've wound up with 360 religious systems in the world and well over 100 in America. So the greatness of God is he is the creator. And the uniqueness of God is that He never fails. I want to share these few things with you just for a minute here. Well, my phone has got a mind of its own. It's turning flips. Consider asking yourself these questions. What is the most important thing I need to accomplish? What am I tolerating? Now, these I just got offline. This week I just put online. I mean, called on the phone system and asked, what are the most important questions you can ask yourself? And you can get them on your phone because that's all I ask it. The most important thing to accomplish. What am I tolerating? What problems or challenges do I foresee happening in my future? What mistakes did I make today? What am I really grateful for? What am I looking forward to? And what do I want to change myself? Now, the Bible says that the children of this generation are wiser in their day than the children of light. They know what questions to ask themselves so they can know where they're going and they can determine how to get there and they can determine without a question, I will not do this in order that I might walk in these parameters of what we call success just in daily life. But when you get into the kingdom life, it becomes multiple of that. It becomes far greater than that. So he says, I will enlarge your coast, or he encourages us to enlarge our coast. In other words, go beyond the have to. Go beyond what we would call normal everyday life. And so in that setting, the uniqueness of God is never knew how or when or what to expect from him, but he came so you could have all three. That is a thrill. So the general power of God, he could dry up water and cause the Red Sea to push back. He would flood the earth and remove all the opposing forces, and only Noah and his family would survive. He could set the tongue of men or man or heaven on fire and lead men. It could rain manna or water. His ravens would find a malnourished man and feed him instead of following its native routine to the nest. Ladies and gentlemen, this God is not just another God. He is the Lord God, and I want to follow him every day. I want his blessing. I want his way to become my way. I want his authority to fill into my heart. No, sir, devil, I will not follow you. No, flesh, I will not cater to you. You are of sinful nature, but inside of me is a holy fire. There is a Holy Ghost victory. It's burning in my soul tonight. It's burning in my mind tonight. And oh, did you get the Holy Ghost Sunday? I thought you did. You want to stand up and let everybody see every bit of you? Friend, I'm telling you, hallelujah. I was so thrilled. I was over there praying with him, and I heard him begin to speak in that heavenly language, and the glory of the Lord was just filling that area over there. Oh, come on, mama. You're right. This is a blessed day in the Holy Kingdom. Oh, man, you want to say a word? You don't have to preach. Just say, I love y'all. Those pitiful people over there love you too. It is awesome. We love one another, but we don't just love one another. We love the sinners out there. God so loved the world that he gave way before I got here. Before I ever got here, he already had a stack of mercy. He already had a stack of forgiveness. He already had a joy level that I could max out every day and never bankrupt heaven. Never get close I like what Vance Havner said years ago. We carry checks on the bank of heaven and forget to cash them at the window of prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, praying always, he said. That's what he said. It's not about just oratory. Praying is staying in touch with the values, the virtues, the wisdoms, the knowledge, the nine fruit of the Spirit, and the nine gifts of the Spirit. Is staying in touch, because you never know the day nor the hour when all of a sudden, let's go. He will whisper in your ear and say, come unto me one more time. And that'll be the last time he says it, because that'll be the end of the church age. I don't want to get too far from the boat. I don't want to get too far into the stormy climate. So I refuse to make him less than what he said. So the general power of God, the endurance of God, he could outlive the evil of Haman, of Judas, or other men in the Bible, and he can wait to bless because he knows, God, I'm about to shout, his blessing will be worth it all. Brother Tanner, it's no wonder somewhere way back yonder, how old was you when you started coming to church? 10 years old. Could you stand up? Good night, you must have eaten all the bread. Ladies and gentlemen, look what the Lord has done. Just look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He healed my mind. He helped me just in time. And some of us that don't have much hair left are just for sure just in time. And I notice Brother Ronnie's is getting kind of white. No, many more bus trips, Brother Ronnie. Not going to be able to pick up many more of those kids in those school buses and vans. And my, my, what a thrill it must be for you and Sister Joanne and Sister Susie and some of the others that were on the bus routes. And we would watch those kids come in, and then all those Sunday school teachers armed and ready with spirit and energy and charts and people's thinking and God worship. I'm telling you, friend, don't you ever count it out that this church house is the place where the body of Christ gathers and begins to furnish each other with wisdoms and knowledges and strengths and victories and all of that. I'm telling you, the devil's the one that ought to be worried, not the people of God. It ought not to be the people of God that's sweating it out. It is the people of God that understand this is the end time. We're walking with the Messiah. We're walking with the one who is the deliverer. We're not going to make him a Pentecostal God or a Methodist God. He is the holy God. He is the only true God. There is none like him, none beside him, and there's not going to be. I don't care how many people come up with millions of dollars. They can't get rid of COVID, but he can. Because even if you die, he said, no problem. I'm a resurrection and I am the life. And so they that die in the Lord have nothing to regret. He can make the vilest sinner clean. Is there anybody here that feels like you just want to stand up and think how in the world he drug you out of the world and into his marvelous light? Would there be somebody just want to shout aloud, stand to your feet? I'm him telling you, there's something burning him this Wednesday night. There is a fire that is literally so alive in this house tonight. The glory of the first and the last. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was just going to sort of go slow, but man, this thing's getting powerful. The forgiveness of God, he makes the sinners. I cannot tell you the amount of harlots, liars, men haters, murderers have all found solace at the real God's feet. I don't care how far you've been. You come to Jesus and make your petitions known and tell him, I'm ready to surrender this body, this mind, this life to you, God. And now I lift up my hands. I've put my sacrifice on the altar. And now I'm looking up unto Jesus, who they told me was the author and the finisher of my faith, and that I could do all things through him that has a bloodline and has the authority of a name and has the power of the Holy Spirit and has the wisdom of the Word. And God, I serve you the rest of my life. I will not turn around. I will not give up. I will get me a preacher that'll keep preaching, and he won't let go until I find my way inside the holiness of God. The judgment of God happened. Korah, if you want to study something interesting, he's wise enough to make a world, and understanding such a powerful thing enough to let men make their mistakes if they care to. You can't beat that kind of God. He will never force you to live holy. But if you want to be in his presence, holiness is the correct life to live. Understanding enough to let men do what they want to do, and yet over on this side, he has the power over death. Proved it by getting Lazarus out, then proved it again by getting himself out. So he knows how to get himself where he wants to go, but he also knows how to get other people out of the worst situation there is, and that's death. And sinfulness leads to death. He is the deliverer. Never is there a picture of him in weakness that doesn't end in strength. They whipped him, they ridiculed him, they made fun. With blood dripping down and with scars on his back, beatings, ridicule from the religious crowd, and the etc. And he kept walking, and he took that cross, and he said, I'm going to take it to Golgotha, and I'm going to prove to you that what I have for you can stand the test of everything, including the worst pain and including death itself. Because I am the I Am, and I am the resurrection. I am the future. I am the healer. I am the deliverer. I am the knowledge that will get you through so social systems that are corrupt and vague. I am that I Am. My God, I'm about to have an explosion here on Wednesday night. Something's burning in my heart about our church family and about what's going to happen and erupt in our community this week as a result of the profundity of a God that would care to give a pastor some bread that will give us what we want and what we need. Never is there a picture of him in weakness that doesn't end in strength. And I know I just said that, but I want to say it again, and I may say it again. He is the intercessor, the mediator, the comforter, the lamb slain, the lion of the tribe of Judah. I wrote as many of these things as I dared. He's the healer, he's the light, and he is the king with all authority and power. It's no wonder that we chase him every day. He's got everything we need. It's no wonder that we seek his face every morning, because he knows how to take care of us during a day when the world is absolutely corrupting itself. Then we see what men make of God or what they allow him to be. Some obeyed him a little. Some followed him a little a ways. Some received part of him. Some worshiped him vaguely. Some have made a religion of him. Some have made his name sacred and revered and yet left his word unattended. Some ridiculed him. Some hated him. Some just made a nice religion out of him. Some despised him. Some addressed him lower than Barabbas. Some tried to act as if he were just another man. Some thought him to be an imposter. Some thought he was a fool. Some made him Lord. Some have made him king, though. And I believe there are some people in this house that salute him tonight. tonight from your very core of your life to the heavens. You are my King, and I gladly bow before you and humble myself before your presence, and I dare not challenge your word and your spirit. You are the mighty God. You are the everlasting Father. You are the door of me getting out of the graveyard. You are the door of me getting out of my worst night. You are the glory of my life. When I'm in a battle, I know I'm going to have victory because you are the victor, and I am in you and you are in me, and I'm not giving myself up to a world. I'm giving myself up to a King, and I'm going to be glad to be your servant. Could somebody stand and praise his name? You're not praising the preacher. We're praising the name of the Lord. We're praising the way of the Lord. This holiday season, and this every holiday season, we make him what we want him to be. Try disregard his presence in the midst of all the commercial traffic, or honor him and obey him with sensitivity all season long, and he will remain Lord and King, presiding over the affairs of our life. Somebody say, my life. My life. He will preside over that. He will adjust the situation to make it a climate in which I can live. He will adjust the situation of my posture so I can endure the hardness of the soldier. He will absolutely be a real God. So who's got Revelation 19:11? Somebody can run.
Revelations 19:11 through 21. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of all of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Those both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
Praise God. Who's got number two?
Revelation 20:11-15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Revelations 21, 1 through 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be with his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be no more pain, for former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new.
Isaiah 44:10-18. Who hath formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed. And the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up, yet they shall fear. And they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both worked in the coals and fashioned it with hammers and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches out his rule. He maketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doeth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kenneth it, and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god, and worshipped it. He maketh it with a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, Aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god. Even his graven image, he falleth down into it and worshipped it and prayed unto it and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes. They cannot see, and their hearts they cannot understand.
We take about 3 or 4 minutes and let's travail for our city, our county, our children. Friends, God, we refuse to sit in the wealth of heaven and let the people that are bankrupt live in poverty without at least somebody caring. When Zion travails, sons and daughters will be born. For you to let that passion rage into a fiery passion. I'm going to read one final part of the message tonight. John 1:1. And again, I want to make sure that everybody understands the title, because when you understand the title, you will be able not to judge men harshly, but you will be able to see where they're coming from, not Calvary. So John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Catch this one. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness, and darkness does not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to be a witness, to bear witness of God, or the light, that all men through him might believe. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Could we pray? Go ahead and sing whatever you feel. This altar's open. If you just want to spend a couple of 3 minutes travailing over your neighbors. But the United Pentecostal Church of Paris is not playing games with salvation. A lot of religion is promising people things that they can't afford. But we know how to afford righteousness, peace, and joy, for it is the kingdom of God Almighty.
Death could not hold.
And if you want to multiply your strength, find a partner to pray with. One can put 1,000 to flight, but 2 can put 10,000 to flight. There is a whole lot of energy that multiplies. Where 2 or 3 agree as to touching any one thing.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. From you.